Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll try to be very brief. I have two items. They're basically follow-up to letters that I received when I was still a council member. One, which is not in your binder, was a letter to John about the price of leased fish. There is a copy of the original letter in your binder and a follow-up letter from John, very well-written letter, thoughtful letter, which caused me to write him another letter requesting action on the exorbitant price of leased fish under the Economic Stabilization Act of 1970. And I have not received a response to that letter. And my question was, when am I going to receive that response, and how is that going to be addressed?
Offline, show me the second letter, and I'll chase it down, Dave, okay?
Okay, I'll bring it up to you on the break.
Thanks.
But I would like a response, if possible, because there's a number of people in northern Massachusetts and New Hampshire and southern Maine that are really waiting for a response, because the lease market is essentially frozen. The prices are too high for people to lease the fish and even break even, and people won't lease them out because other people paid those prices earlier in the year. So it's a very serious issue. My second one, again, to be brief, will be to Russ, I guess, since Bill Karp isn't here. It's on issues I identified last year with the Observer program. In that letter, he responded to me saying that there would be a review. Let me read it here. As we near the end of the third fishing year under Northeast Multispecies Sector Management, we are preparing to conduct a new peer review of the methodology probably in the late summer or fall of 2013. And my question is, has that occurred yet, and how are fishermen going to be involved? Because we have very, very serious problems with this program as it's running at the moment.
The review has not occurred yet. This was something that we discussed this morning under the, and there was a question from Mary Beth about this. The fact is, we're still trying to figure out how to scale the size of the review so that we can make sure that we can dedicate the staff resources to it that are needed. When we do come up with a way to conduct the review, we will strive to have industry involvement in that process.
Okay, thank you, because basically I've reluctantly concluded that you cannot accurately weigh fish at sea on a small boat, and, you know, we're being charged for these fish now at a rate of over $2 a pound, and that's an issue for us economically, but it's an issue for you folks in the stock assessments that you're getting inaccurate weights. We also have issues with the number of things that are being killed in order to weigh this stuff. I mean, I had a basket of lobster sit there and steam on deck, literally boiling in the sun this summer. I don't think we should have to kill everything to weigh it. So we have a number of issues, and we would really like to be involved in changing the protocols for this program. That's it for me. Thank you.
Sally.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and council members. This morning I passed out two one-page descriptions of two projects that I wanted to bring to the council's attention. The Nature Conservancy is working with the Northeast Fisheries Science Center to further advance their work on ecosystem modeling, with the ultimate goal, part of which is to develop ecosystem reference points that could be used in fishery management plans. So I'll let you read over these yourselves, but what I really wanted to do is make sure that you were aware of this project. It's a two-year project that just started. We have a postdoc who just started last month, and we want to make sure that these that final outputs are going to be useful to the New England Council, to the Mid-Atlantic Council and to the two Ocean Councils as well. So I just wanted to highlight that for you. The second project is one with University of Massachusetts with SMAST. We're working with Kevin Stokesbury and his group to further analyze his video survey data set, which, as everybody knows, spans some 10 years and goes from the Hague Line down to the Chesapeake. And they've done some preliminary analysis of habitat types and other species in addition to sea scallops, which obviously was the original intent of that work. But what we're working with them to do is to go back and look at, again, habitat types, other species and species groupings, as the case may be, depending on how well you can identify these things in, from the video and high-resolution still photographs. And then to also incorporate climate variables as well into the analysis. So, again, this is a two-year project, just at the beginning stages. And one question I would have for the council is so that these projects get the kind of feedback necessary to make any kind of changes to them so that the final products can be useful to you, would it be valuable to refer these and then to get a more in-detail briefing to the SFC or to one of the species committees? I'm not sure, but I just wanted to make sure you're aware of these since they're big investments and they're relatively long-term projects. Thank you.
Thank you, Sally. I'll work with Tom and get back to you on that. Togue.
Chairman, thank you. I will keep this brief. My name is Togue Braun. I own Maine Day Boat Scallops based in Scarborough, Maine, and I'm working with a number of scallop fishermen in Maine and the Maine Coast Fishermen's Association. Oh, thanks. Thanks. On the issue I bring to you today. I am asking you to prioritize corrections to Northern Gulf of Maine scallop management. Corrections to inconsistencies that exist right now. The Northern Gulf of Maine is defined as all waters north of 4220, which basically means if you start at Boston Harbor and draw a line due east, all waters above that are contained within the Northern Gulf of Maine management area. Amendment 11 established this as its own distinct management area. It's supposed to be managed completely independently of waters to the south. The council recognized that it has unique properties. It has a very patchy distribution of scallops that fluctuate widely and most likely independently of waters to the south. There were regulations that were put in place to protect this resource. You'll recall Amendment 11, however, dealt primarily with the establishment of IFQs in the general category fishery. That was the bulk of Amendment 11, and that's where the council put most of its priorities, and there were some I's that were not dotted and T's that were not crossed when it comes to Northern Gulf of Maine management. That resulted in some inconsistencies that create some potentially very significant problems in the Northern Gulf of Maine. I am here today to ask you to prioritize correcting those problems while they are just that, potential problems. Right now, they could be addressed. They would not make much of an impact on anyone, and it would be a fairly simple fix. If you wait until the resource booms again, that will not be the case, and people will look at the corrections as opportunities to fight for a bigger share of the resource when it does come back. I will go over briefly the problems that exist, but you all have a document that I handed out that pretty much summarizes them.
Could you not go over your letter?
I won't do that. I was just going to say that I'm not going to right now, but I do want to clear up one issue. A lot of people seem to think that the Northern Gulf of Maine TAC is somehow derived from or related to the OFL that governs the rest of the fishery. That is not the case. The Northern Gulf of Maine TAC is based on historic landings in the Northern Gulf of Maine. It has nothing to do with the OFL or the ACLs that govern the rest of the fishery. There are measurements in place. There's a total allowable catch, a dredge size restriction, and a 200-pound possession limit that is intended to protect the resource. That would be sufficient to protect the resource if all the vessels that fished in the Northern Gulf of Maine were obliged to abide by that. That is not the case. As you mentioned, I'm not going to go over all of the problems. You can go over them yourself at your leisure. But I just want to point out that right now we have a situation where the Northern Gulf of Maine is supposedly governed by a TAC but that TAC does not apply to limited access vessels that can come up and take an unlimited amount of scallops from the area. In the interest of brevity, I'm not going to go over the examples of what could happen, but it is possible when this resource comes back, one limited access vessel could wipe out the entire resource. They would not be required to stop fishing until the TAC were reached by the smaller vessels that are fishing under the significant constraints of a catch limit and a dredge size restriction. In summary, a lot of people say that this is not an issue that we need to be concerned with. A lot of the guys I work with are concerned about it. They value their Northern Gulf of Maine permits. They would like to be able to go out there and fish in the waters off their shores. And if people say that it's not a problem, my response is twofold. One thing, if it's not really that much of a problem, no one should mind if we fix that potential problem. And the second is that it would be either naive or short-sighted to say that this could never happen. The Gulf of Maine has always gone up and down. It's had booms in the past. It will have booms in the future, and it will become attractive to limited access vessels. I would just like this to be fixed before that happens. Thank you.
Thank you. Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Frank Meraki from Scituate, Mass. I'd like to just give you a real brief overview of a cooperative research project that a group of fishermen fishing from the ports in the South Shore of Massachusetts, the Nature Conservancy, Mass Division of Marine Fisheries, NOAA, Stellwagen Bank National Marine Sanctuary are cooperatively planning on working on this fall and early winter. It deals basically, slide two please, deals basically with the problem of recurring spawning behavior of Gulf of Maine cod in the western Gulf of Maine and Massachusetts Bay. As you can see from the view on the screen, there are already three identified areas. Historically, fishermen believe, and I'm a personal witness to this, that codfish have spawned up and down the western shore of Massachusetts Bay since time immemorial. The interactions with the fisheries were perhaps mitigated for a while by the rolling closures. Those have largely been removed now, particularly for the fall and winter spawning cohort, and they're subject to fairly intense fishing pressure once again. So, slide three, please. The intent of this project is to take areas which have been identified by independent sources, the IBS Survey, Fishing Observer, as well as passive acoustic work that's been done in the already identified areas, and expand that into the south and east from the existing areas that are governed by the state of Massachusetts. The work basically is going to be this fall conducted by a group of volunteer commercial fishermen from the ports of Scituate and Green Harbor and Marshfield. And basically what it entails is inserting acoustic tags into codfish, setting up a network of passive acoustic receivers, which are the dots on your chart, and then mapping the behavior of the fish as they enter and exit the fields of these acoustic receivers. The objective is going to be basically to identify spawning cohorts of codfish, where they may be, and also to identify aggregations of pre-spawning fish that might occur in this area, with the eventual goal of adopting a precautionary closed area for protecting spawning fish, which will be hopefully very narrow in scope width in terms of geography and in time, and will enable fishermen, day boat fishermen from these ports to continue to fish, but will be more protective of the codfish than the current management system allows us. So really quickly, that's what we have in plan, underway in plan, and would hope that we'll keep you posted in a more extensive report when time permits. Thank you very much, and I'd be happy to answer any questions, should there be any.
Now, thanks, Frank. Looks like a great project. We'll be looking forward to receiving your report. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Patrick Paquette, I'm a recreational fisheries advocate from Massachusetts. Terry, I actually have two
two questions and a comment. And the first question is that it's not on the agenda, although there's documents in the briefing book and clearly a whole bunch of interest, and it was mentioned this morning in reports. Amendment 5, disapproval measures, and discussion around that and any potential council reaction or how the council wants to handle the issues behind those. Are they on the agenda today, and can you please let us know when?
Assuming we get to it this morning, the hearing committee report was scheduled for half hour ago.
Gotcha. I understand. Thank you. And a second question is, in the document distributed at the table, overview of 2012 fish landings Northeast U.S. that Mr. Bullard referred to in his report, can we assume that rank by value of fish landings does not include recreational fish landings? Doesn't say the word commercial or recreational on the report, so I just wanted to clarify that we knew what we were talking about. Just commercial. Thank you. And finally was a comment. As a member of the Recreational Advisory Panel, a year ago we had a very difficult discussion when we set recreational measures for haddock. We needed to preserve, facing the draconian cuts that were to come, we needed to preserve some sort of a way for charter boats to be able to sell trips, and trying to keep and doing what we had to. It was really heartening to have a new model that the RAP was presented so that we were able to figure out a size limit that kept us unlimited at haddock. At the time, we didn't necessarily know that the whole rest of the world that fishes for haddock was going to be going after juveniles. I can't speak for the RAP as a whole, but I can speak as one citizen and one guy who is involved in the industry and who is very, very concerned about us normal citizens' ability to access that resource, that this 2,000-a-year banner class could be so significantly dropped that we may not be able to benefit from it at all. The citizens, the people who marine trades and who spend most of the money on maritime services in this country. So I just want to put that and say that there is, beyond the states that have expressed concern this morning, that the recreational public is starting to really, really be concerned in hopes that at least the RAP is able to have significant discussion about measures going forward after this, because this what's happening with juvenile haddock becoming the target species now across the board, whether it's lobster bait or in commercial fisheries, has really got us concerned that we're not going to be able to participate in that resource anymore. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you all. Are there any additional comments from the public? We're gonna take a if this is about hearing.
It's just an agenda advice to Patrick as well.
Sure. Go ahead, Matt. Then we're going to take a break and jump right on to our 9:45 skate committee report.
Patrick, we're also probably, there's going to be a presentation this afternoon by the service regarding the Amendment 5 discussion. So some of the discussion will also take place after lunch or after the hearing committee report.
Okay. 10-minute break. 10-minute break. 10-minute break. 10-minute break. 10-minute break. 10-minute break.